The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Thank you, Kristen. So many of us, maybe all of us, I don't know, we often have this voice, maybe it's not little, maybe it's big and loud, this voice in the back of our mind that's critical of ourselves. Oh, you're not doing it right. You're not doing enough. You need to do more. You're failing. You could do better. These types of things. Turns out to be pretty common. And it wouldn't be so bad if we didn't sometimes believe this voice. Sometimes it feels authoritative, like it's the truth. It's not the truth. It's just a voice that sometimes arises. These are thoughts that arise. At that very moment, at that precise moment, we're doing the best we can. It doesn't mean that in the future we can't do better or in the past we have done better, but at that precise moment we're doing the best we can. So this unfair, unjust, belittling, critical voice, sometimes it can be really helpful to have a way to work with it without making it a problem. Without being critical of this critical voice, without belittling this belittling voice. There's a number of ways we can do this. Some people have found it helpful, not everybody, but some people find it helpful to kind of like acknowledge, okay, there is this, I keep on using this word voice, they can just be thoughts. But sometimes it's a voice and it can be helpful to have like give a persona, give a name to this voice. Yes, Aunt Jo, I hear you. To somehow kind of like get just a little bit disentangled from it, to distinguish that these thoughts that we have, this thought pattern, is not who we are. It's not inherent to our existence. It's not inherent to the situation. It's just a habit that we've inherited through society likes to tell us these things. You're not good enough. And they can give you a whole list of things of what you're not good enough in. Maybe our family, maybe our greater community. We just have inherited these thoughts, this inner critic. There's a lot of suffering around this inner critic. A lot of suffering. I know I have this feeling like, oh, I'm failing. I'm failing. Didn't matter what actually the truth of the matter was. I have a certain amount of success in certain different areas and it didn't seem to matter. Like, oh, I'm failing. I still haven't done X, Y, or Z. That's the thing about this voice. It can feel persuasive. It almost seems completely independent of any truth or objective data out there. So it might be helpful to acknowledge this and to some people give it a name. You can even imagine clothes, how this voice dresses, or is this voice yelling, or is it like this little whisper, or, you know, just to investigate and be a little bit curious about it. And just that act of investigating, that activity of being curious about it, can help us get a little bit disentangled. And some of that authority can drain away. So if we think about it, we'll recognize that this critical voice is not always there. It's not always there. Sometimes it may feel like it. So it's not permanent. It's not a permanent fixture. It doesn't have to always be there. And not only is it not always there, we don't have to define ourselves by it. We don't have to, you know, buy into it and let it push us around so much. It turns out that taking care of ourselves is more effective than beating ourselves up. Having compassion for ourselves, having goodwill for ourselves, it's much more effective. There's scientific studies that show this. Much more effective than encouraging us, giving us the confidence to try new things, giving us the confidence to get back up on the bicycle after we fall down, so to speak. So one way to work with this, as I said, is to kind of investigate, have curiosity. But another way is with loving kindness. We can extend the loving kindness that we do for ourselves, the goodwill we have for ourselves, extend it to include this voice, to include all aspects of ourselves, including that little voice that's saying we're doing it wrong, it's not good enough, we need to do more, we're failing, etc., etc., whatever these voices may say. In some way, can we kind of like bow, yes, I see you, this little voice, and welcome, come on in, have a cup of tea. And then just like some of the suffering then drains out of it. I like this expression, drains out of it. It just becomes another set of thoughts. We start to recognize, oh yeah, this is a habit. Doesn't mean it's true. I recently had the good fortune to assist on a kind of a long retreat, and as I was meeting individually with some of the practitioners, it was a giant breakthrough for this one person that came in, and the voice was saying, "You're not doing this right, you're not good enough, look at everybody else, they're doing it better, you know." And then this person said, "No, actually, that's not true. That's not true." She said how transformative it was at that moment to recognize, no, this is not true. Yes, that is, voice is arising, but no, it's not true. I'm doing the best I can at this moment. This can be life-changing. So loving kindness practice helps us to open to what's actually happening. Sometimes what's actually happening is a critical voice. And then to extend our goodwill to include it, just to not be hating the hater, not to be critical of the critical one, not to push away the one that's pushing away. It's a radical gesture. It's a radical gesture. And it's powerful. And I'll say it's a habit. It's such a habit. We have been conditioned in such this way, so we may be able to meet the critical inner critic one time, but that doesn't mean that it won't just come back. But it's a practice. It's a practice. And the more we do it and recognize, oh yeah, okay, there's this way of thinking. If we can, in the best we can, kind of soften our hearts, open our hearts a little bit, allow it to be there, recognize it's there, then it just starts to become, oh yeah, here's some thoughts that are arising, maybe some uncomfortableness associated with it, and then the thoughts go away. They may arise again, there may be uncomfortableness associated with it, and then they go away. And then they arise again, maybe some comfortableness, and then they go away. But it's not like who we are. It's not inherent to ourselves. So whether you give this inner critic a name, a persona, or you just recognize it as a collection of thoughts, whatever way is helpful for you, loving kindness practice is a way in which we can meet and include this voice. And then it softens, starts to arise less and less frequently. And then it goes away. I'm not promising a quick, easy fix here. This is a practice. It is possible, though. It is possible to have that kind of freedom and ease away from this inner critic, and instead to be cultivating a voice that says, okay, I guess I didn't do so well then. Well, what can I do better next time? And learns from things rather than just kind of flogging ourselves. So to cultivate loving kindness, many of you have been here before, so I'll say the same song and dance that I do every time. So for the loving kindness practice, to cultivate this, to create the conditions in which there'll be more goodwill, care, warmth, respect, love, compassion, all these things. We can't make them happen, we can't force them to happen, but we can create the conditions in which they're more likely to happen. So with this practice, we have three elements. You may find that one of these elements is the easiest for you. And maybe there may be a day when one particular aspect of this practice isn't so available to you, and you may play with and experiment with the other two if you're used to doing things one particular way. So what are these three elements? One is to visualize that for whom we're sending loving kindness. It can be really helpful. There's a number of ways to do loving kindness practice. So here we're going to choose a person or a being to kind of send loving kindness practice towards. We'll start what we call the benefactor, somebody for whom it's easy to send loving kindness towards. Somebody who has perhaps helped us in a way that we feel just a lot of gratitude and appreciation. Maybe there isn't somebody that comes to mind, that's okay. There can be another type of being, kittens, puppies, babies, whatever kind of like softens our hearts. So one element of the practice to bring to mind, visualize, and it does not have to be an accurate visualization. It does not have to be a high definition. For me, it's just a vague sense, and that's good enough. The second is to kind of pay attention to what's happening in our bodies. Sometimes there literally can be a warm feeling in the heart center. Maybe there can be a softening in the belly. Maybe there can be a opening or a spaciousness. You can explore that. Allow that to support you. It also may be the case that you don't have those feelings readily in the body. That's okay too. We all kind of experience this in our own way. And then the third element is to say the phrases as a way to kind of help us bring our intention back to doing loving kindness. So I'll be guiding us and repeating this set of four phrases, which you can repeat silently in your mind. There's nothing particularly magical about these phrases, so you're welcome to change them to something that resonates with you. And of course, I say this, it doesn't have to be in English, whatever the language of your heart is. And today I'd like to do a benefactor, and then we'll expand it to include ourselves, including the inner critic. And then we'll expand it even a little bit more for a neutral person, somebody that we don't know. We recognize often this is the postal delivery person or the grocery clerk, so a real person that we know but we don't have a relationship with. Can we include them in our loving kindness? So with that as an introduction, we'll start by taking alert, upright posture, and we'll do a little bit of kind of just settling in first. Maybe we'll start with three long, slow, deep breaths, just as a way to connect with the body. It might be that with the exhale, there's a certain amount of letting go, a certain amount of softening. We don't have to make it happen. We can just notice if there's a little relaxation that happens with the exhale. Then allowing the breath to return to normal. And trusting that the body knows how to breathe. Just allowing the body to breathe. Nothing special, nothing in particular. It can support a relaxing and settling by to check in with the body. Specifically, areas around the eyes and the jaw. Sometimes the neck. It might be that just bringing our attention to these areas might soften. It might not too, that's okay. Our shoulders, can we allow the shoulder blades to slide down the back? Upper back, lower back, the chest and belly. Can we have some alertness and some ease? Some uprightness and some softness. Can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body, allowing yourself to be supported, trusting gravity to keep us there. Relaxing the legs and the feet, the arms and hands. We'll do just a little bit of mindfulness of breathing. You can bring your awareness to the sensations of breathing. The movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. Whichever is the easiest, whichever feels the most supportive, just rest your attention there. So we're feeling the sensations of breathing, like from the inside. How does the body feel to breathe? Not so much thinking about it, but like sensing it. How does it feel to have an inhale? How does it feel to have an exhale? So here with this paying attention to the sensations of breathing, you can always come back to this practice. If during the loving kindness practice you feel confused, feel overwhelmed, not sure what to do, you can always just come back to this, sensations of breathing. It might be that as we begin loving kindness practice, every feeling except loving kindness arises. That's okay. Sometimes that happens. If so, when you're having difficulty holding it, see if you can come back to this practice, mindfulness of breathing, to get some steadiness, to get some ease. So now to begin the loving kindness practice, bring to mind the benefactor or the lovable being. You can visualize them. Some people find it easier just to have a felt sense rather than an image. This practice, you're welcome to experiment, to play, explore, investigate, be creative in a way that works for you. You can check in with the body. Maybe there's already a little softening or warmth when you bring this being to mind. Maybe not also. And then to help us stay on task, that sounds a little too much like something a school teacher would say, but help us to support our intention. It's helpful to give the mind something to do. So we can repeat the phrases silently after me. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You can check in with the body again. There might be a little corner of our experience. Maybe it's unremarkable. Maybe there's a sense of well-being, contentment, goodwill, love, warmth. It may not be our dominant experience. It may not be the biggest experience. And it may not be there. But let's not dismiss it if there is something there. Some well-wishing. Let's not discount it. It's important we can allow it to nourish us, to support us, even though it may be small. Maybe it wants to get bigger. We can't make it get bigger. We can't force it get bigger. We can allow it to get bigger. Notice if there's a little critical voice that shows up. We can send goodwill to this voice. I'll be silent here for a little bit. You can do the phrases at your own pace. You can maybe drop into any sense of well-being. Maybe you can just drop into your heart if that makes sense to you. You can go back to mindfulness of breathing if that feels easier, more supportive, the caring thing to do. So again, you can send loving kindness to a benefactor or another lovable being. Bring this being to mind. We can repeat the phrases. Maybe the phrases come from our minds. Maybe they come from our hearts. Maybe we aren't even making a distinction between mind and heart. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now, with any sense of goodwill, warmth, care, respect, love, kindness, that we have, let's expand it to include ourselves. Of course we're including ourselves. Of course we're including ourselves. We deserve it. We are worthy. We might even need this, right? Some care, warmth. So in just the same way as we did for the benefactor, we can bring to mind ourselves either the way it feels to sit here, or maybe we visualize ourselves. Visualize ourselves the way we are now. Maybe when we were a child, if that feels easier, Maybe even when we were a toddler or a baby, if that feels easier. You don't have to choose the most difficult thing here. And even with this, if you notice a little voice like, oh, you should know this, or it shouldn't be hard, you can include the voice, this critical voice. It may not be there, but if it is, you can welcome this voice, invite it in. It too, all aspects of ourselves are complicated, messy, beautiful selves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May those secret little aspects of myself be safe. May those parts that I don't like to recognize, may they be happy. And those quiet little parts of myself that I may not even recognize, may they be healthy. May all those different voices, different aspects of myself, may they live with ease. May they be safe. May they be happy. May they be healthy. May they live with ease. Maybe we don't have to separate them out. We can just welcome them all in. All of them. All aspects. May I be safe. be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Now I'll be silent here for a little bit. You can make this practice your own. Now we'll expand our loving kindness one more time to include a neutral person, somebody you recognize but don't have a relationship with. You can, if there's any sensations of warmth, softness, openness in the heart or the belly or wherever you might feel it, see if somehow there can be a radiation from that place, if that makes any sense. So again, we can bring to mind a neutral person. Using the loving kindness that we've cultivated thus far as a support, can we just expand it? Just include one more person. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Again, you can check in and see if there is a feeling of ease, some well-being, contentment, warmth. It may be unremarkable. It may be just a fraction of your experience. It may not be. That may be your dominant experience. It may be what you're feeling right now. Whichever way, may not even be there. See if we can just be with how it is, allowing it to be there, whatever's there. Allowing with a heart of loving kindness. And then to end this meditation, you can feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So with this meditation, I started with some checking in with the body and some mindfulness of breathing, just to get settled. Then we did some of the benefactor, a being for whom it's easy to feel loving kindness, care, warmth towards. Then we expanded that to include ourselves, including all aspects. I use this expression, may they. Maybe that makes sense to you, maybe it doesn't. And then also a neutral person. In this way, maybe some of the loving kindness that we cultivate and develop can kind of spill out to people that we don't know. There's no reason why they shouldn't have safety, health, and happiness and ease also. We can wish that for them. And then, of course, so I started this talking about the inner critic. Yeah, it's kind of just cultivating loving kindness in whatever way is accessible to us, in whatever way makes sense, can help us soften this inner critic so that it doesn't arise as much. Maybe isn't as authoritative or as loud when it does arrive. Or when it does arrive, maybe we can turn towards it with a Like, oh, okay, here you are, come on in. That kind of a feeling. I'm making it sound simple. It's not so simple. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. You know, different times. It is a practice, but it is possible. So now I'd like to open it up to any comments or questions. How is the guided meditation? How is this idea of including all different aspects of ourselves? How was it to include a neutral person? Was that a piece of cake? Was it complicated? Was it hard? Was it... any comments or questions or things you'd like to share? Oh, great. So welcome. We'll bring you a microphone so everybody can hear.
So I want to thank you. You have a really pleasant voice.
Thank you.
Great for meditation. Maybe it's me, but I would appreciate if you enunciated a little bit more, because what you had to say was really relevant to me. But I was trying to say, you know, what'd you say? And when you said, be happy, be healthy, and there were two more, I have no idea what the other two were.
Ah.
What were they?
Yeah, so maybe live with ease. And you know, you're not the first person to say this. We have like new microphones, and it feels like they're not just crisp to me. It feels like it's a little more blurry. But yeah, so the last one, maybe live with ease.
Okay. So yeah, thank you.
Live with ease. I'll try to say this at least a few times where it's really clear, so that when it's blurry the rest of the time you'll know what I'm saying. But thank you. You're not the first person to say this. Last week somebody said this too, that did have clarity with the way I was speaking, but now feels a little more muddled. So thank you. I'm sorry.
Hi. I just wanted to share something that cracks me up, which is that you talked a little bit about naming your voice. For me, Mara has always been sort of a feminine character, and I've got a collection of them. I've got Mara the catastrophizer, and I've got Mara the automatic eater, and I'm about six more than that, and it just cracks me up. Hi. Oh, there you are. Hello. I don't know.
Fantastic. If you can recognize, like, oh, wow, there's a whole collection in here. And for those of you who don't know, Mara is kind of like in the Buddhist stories, is understood in different ways. And one is a being that doesn't want us to find freedom. So puts obstacles in the way of finding freedom, finding ease. Getting caught up in these voices definitely get in the way. So thank you, that's great.
I wanted to say something about, this isn't a thought,
okay.
I don't know, but about last time I was really suffering, I was really upset, and normally I might get upset that I'm upset. But this time it was like, oh, wow, I'm really suffering right now. And it was like, oh, it's okay. And so I turned toward it, and I turned toward myself, and instead of abandoning and trying to push it away or, oh, this again, it was like, it's okay. You know, a lot of self-hugs sometimes.
Fantastic.
And I think that's only possible because of the practice of metta. Mm-hmm. Very powerful.
It's very powerful. When we start turning towards our difficulties, then they can unfold in a different way. There's often a little bit more room for wisdom to arise. Like if we start hating the hate, right? It's so difficult to get out of that. But if we can turn towards and recognize it's difficult, it doesn't make it easy necessarily, but there can be a certain... almost, dare I say, a certain happiness to stop fighting with reality. Yes, this sucks. Just to kind of be with that. Yes, this is happening. I wish it were different. It's not different. This is how it is. Somehow to just admit that and be with that, then we can start to maybe see a little bit more clearly about what's the best way to be. So, thank you.
Following right up on that, I'm with my diagrammatic mind, you know, there's awareness and then there's metta practice. But I'm wondering if I bring metta into my awareness, you know, like just seeing the suffering, and right away, is it kosher to bring the...
Please do. Please do. This is what one thing I'm trying to cultivate or here is that bring an attitude of loving kindness, an attitude of warmth and care into our whatever meditation practice we're doing, whether it's mindfulness, concentration practice, whatever practice we may be doing. So here we're doing specifically loving kindness practice, which helps us to cultivate it, makes it more accessible. But there's no reason why you can't bring either formal phrases for a few at the beginning of an awareness or mindfulness practice to kind of open and soften the heart. Or if you're doing mindfulness practice, maybe you could switch over to metta a little bit if you find yourself like stuck and in some aversive mind things. Or you can play around with it and blend them. Blend them, of course, of course. There's no reason why we can't play with this. Find a creative way that works for us. Make this practice our own.
I find the self-compassion piece the most powerful piece and the most sort of grounding piece for me. I have a little bit of difficulty, and I'm not sure kind of what this is about, with the sort of what I'm struggling to sort of think about being happy, because I have this sort of like real rowdy part that's like every, it just seems like there's so much emphasis on happiness. And I have a, when I'm not feeling that, but I feel like I can, there's just something about your brain going round and round when you settle into this sort of like being okay, and the self-compassion is, I find, the most powerful kind of like transformative place to be.
Fantastic. Thank you.
And I had just this resistance to when you kept saying being happy, because I'm kind of like, this sort of grumbly part that's like, it just seems like, I don't know, that's just kind of where I am right now.
I think this is great. There's no reason why we have to be happy all the time, right? It's ridiculous. We're not going to be happy all the time. That's not how life is. But it's more to cultivate the intention, may you be happy. So you might want to choose a different word. May you be, may I be, I don't know.
At ease. I like the at ease part.
Yeah, at ease. May I be calm. May I have some peace. May I don't know. But joyful, right? These are good words. Also, I do want to say that we want to honor. If we're feeling sad, we're feeling sad. We can just honor that and kind of accept it and allow it to be there without trying to... this inner critic, oh, I'm supposed to be happy, I better be happy, I was happy, I hope I'm happy again, and then, you know, this. Sometimes just turning towards the feeling of sadness, heaviness, loneliness, whatever it is, sometimes that can be really, really helpful. This could be the loving thing to do, is to just be with whatever. Thank you.
I found for me that even when things are rocky and not going well, that even in those states, there are a lot of things for me to be grateful about. So grateful is a word that I have substituted for happy, because happy just seems very amorphous to me. I'm not really sure. It's like Christmas morning, a little kid to me, and I'm so far away from that. That was so long ago that I don't really have that sense of what does that actually mean. So even when things are tough, I've been saying, may I be grateful, because it makes me reflect on the things that are good and going well or have been gifts for me.
Beautiful. I think this is fantastic. Right, this practice is about kind of like opening the heart, softening the heart, letting go in whatever way. And gratitude is such a beautiful way. I think that's really wise. Thank you. Maybe we could just do gratitude practice instead of loving kindness practice sometimes too, right? Yeah. Okay, so it's 7 o'clock. I want to respect everyone's time, so I'm going to end now. I'll stay here if you have some questions or more things you'd like to say. Otherwise, I wish you all, may you be grateful. Thank you.